Battered and bruised, his crew of 20 armed riders nowhere in sight. Lassman could guess what had happened. Ryan and the others had ambushed the patrol and aced the riders with only this one surviving, probably from sheer stubbornness. The Sekhmen was stronger than an armored tank, nearly unkillable. Everybody in his ville was terrified of him, and most considered him a mutie of some sort. But nobody had ever dared to say that aloud.
This idiot yours?
A scout. We sent out a dozen. Private, get your ass in the wags. Campbell!
Yes, sir.
The sergeant sat behind the wheel of the first wag. Campbell had a smiling face and laughing eyes. He always seemed amused, even as he sliced off a tongue or a testicle. His face was a mask of tattoos, showing his rise, fall, and subsequent reemergence in the navy of Lord Baron Kinnison, ruler of the Thousand Islands. Unlike any of the others, this Campbell was armed with a sleek bolt-action long blaster, and a bandolier of long brass shells was slung across his chest. He was both the top kick for the captain and his executioner should the officer fail to recover the outlanders.
When we get back, give this feeb 10 lashes with the whip for his failure.
Done.
But sir, I was sent to find Colonel Mitchum, and I did.
Seems more like he found you. And now it's 10 lashes with a whip soaked in salt water. Any more objections, and I'll make it 20.
Silently, the doomed Sekhmen stumbled toward the rear of the convoy to be as far away from the sergeant as possible. Leaving the rest of the troops behind, Glassman walked over to Mitchum.
Okay. Tell me.
They live. Caught us in a booby and fried my men alive.
Well, don't worry. We'll find them. Do you have anything that was worn by one of the outlanders? Or better, has their blood on it?
You got dogs?
Something close enough.
Hunters, are you mad?
No hunters. The local baron had one that he claimed was tame as a gaudy slut. Even did tricks. Shot it dead in its cage. There's no such thing as a tame hunter. They just act, Whip, until that door's open, and then rip your fucking head off.
Smart move.
No, we've got a dozen hunting dogs, trained to track escaped slaves. You give us anything with their scent, and those beasts will track them through fire and water.
Lots of bloody clothing at the wreckage. Most of it's burned, but maybe something is still usable.
Good. Corporal Yantar.
Yes, sir.
Take a squad and check over the wreckage of the wag down the kitchen of the road. I want anything stained with human blood. Anything at all. If these dogs are any damn good, they should be able to track the scents of a dozen slaves with no trouble.
We'll have those outies in chains by nightfall. I bet my life on it.
Accepted.
What?
Find them by darkness, or we leave you staked out for muties.
Going pale, Yantar scrambled from the Hummer to join the Sekhmen walking past the officers and headed for the wreckage.
Better get in a wag, Mitchum. Have the healer check those wounds. Should put some shine on them, and a little in you to ease the pain.
I'll walk. Can't show weakness in front of my men.
Those aren't your Sekhmen, Colonel.
What did you say?
All your troops are chilled. These are my navvies, and some of the local baron's grunts. They obey only me. Now get in the bastard wag. You're the only person alive who's seen the outlanders' faces, and I may need that in case they try to slip through us to steal a boat. I'm going to keep you alive at any cost, so get in or get dragged in like a chained slave. I don't care. Your choice.
How about we try this instead, you skinny fuck? Tell him I'm your new chief, or I blow you in half.
There was a jab into Glassman's gut, and the captain looked down to see a blaster pressed against his stomach, the hammer pulled back and ready to fire. The barrel was warm, but it sent a chill down his back. Unfortunately, Glassman was blocking the view, so there was no way the Sekhmen in front or behind could see he was in danger.
Decide fast. Share the command, or die. Your choice.
Black dust, I'm impressed. Always need men good as you. But the Lord Baron wants the outlanders alive. Agree to that, and you're my new top kick.
No.
Then do it, Gimp. Shoot me, and watch my men take you apart as I drop.
Temporarily outmaneuvered, Mitchum clenched his teeth, fighting the pain of his wounds and the burning desire to seek revenge. Few men would face down a weapon to their guts. Glassman had to be a fanatic, or Kinnison had a hold on him more frightening than death.
I get to ace Ryan. You get the rest.
Agreed.
Sergeant Campbell.
Sir?
Mitchum here will be assuming your duties as my second in command. You're the new top gunner.
What the hell's going on here?
Yes, sir.
The sergeant stepped into the rear of the vehicle to take a position at the big machine gun.
Satisfied, Mitchum?
For the moment.
Mitchum jabbed the sailor with the muzzle of his flintlock one more time, then holstered the piece.
But remember, I took you face to face while surrounded by your stinking troops, and I can do it again whenever I please.
Maybe.
Try me any time, sir.
Count on it.
As the long exhalation of stale air ceased flowing from the inside of the plane, the companions stopped holding their breaths and took a tentative sniff. The craft's interior still reeked faintly of rotten flesh, kerosene, and dust, but the smell was quickly fading as the fresh, clean air of the jungle poured into the ancient cargo bay. His blaster leading the way, Ryan walked inside and waited for his vision to adjust to the dim recesses of the giant aircraft. JB and the others were right behind him, with Doc staying at the open hatch and Jack remaining in the tree. The scant light coming in through the C-130's open hatchway was barely sufficient to see anything, so Christy and Dean lit candles while Mildred dug a small flashlight from her medkit. Pumping the handle a few times to charge the ancient batteries, she flicked its switch, and out came a strong white beam that soon faded to a soft yellow. The 100-year-old device was slowly dying, and there was no way the physician could ever replace it. But the weak light filled the cargo bay, outshining the dancing flames of the tallow candles. The ceiling was 20 or so feet above them, and heavily padded with some sort of insulation. Pieces of ventilation conduits, wiring, and fuel pipes showed here and there for maintenance. Directly in front of Ryan was a row of seats filled with the bones of dead crew members. To his left, a door was set into a metal wall that led to the front ammo bunkers and the washroom. Alongside that was a short flight of stairs going to a veined door with multiple hinges, the access to the cockpit. JB went straight up the steps and checked the door. He pulled tools out of his bag.
What's up there?
Give me a sec, Ryan. It's locked.
Moving deeper into the behemoth, Ryan saw the main body of the aircraft extended for yards and yards, with huge canvas lumps filling the central passageway, the mounds of cargo resting on thick pallets and firmly lashed into place by a dozen ropes and chains. The distant rear of the craft was lost in shadows. Dean headed that way along the left wall and soon came back along the right.
Nothing else but these pallets. No more bones or doors.
Careful opening those. The Gov often booby-trapped important cargo.
Gotcha.
Dean moved away from the canvas mound. He made a mental note to ask JB to start teaching him about traps and locks. At the open hatch, Doc stomped on the deck, crushing something with a lot of legs.
Be gone, Visigoth!
The old man kicked the dead millipede onto the wing. As it landed on the leaves, the vines twitched, and a flower bent over it to close its rainbow petals about the pulped insect and start eating.
A sylvan glade, indeed.
Going to the wall seats, Ryan inspected the desiccated skeletons of paratroopers, still strapped in place. Their uniforms were only rags now, the fresh air making them crumble apart. Each man and woman was armed with an M16 carbine and a sidearm. But all the weapons were so heavily rusted, salvage was impossible. Only the plastic rifle stocks and the hand blaster's rubber grips were still in pristine condition. The rest of the steel had been corroded by acid.